You may or may not be aware of this, but right now, 52,000 people are running the streets of New York. 52,000 people are participating in the New York Marathon. It's the largest marathon in the world, and those 52,000 people come from 120 different countries around the globe. And that's only about half of the 100,000 some odd people who filled out applications to enter that race. So those 52,000, about half of those who wanted to run it, those 52,000 who actually made the cut and are running the race had to travel to New York. So whatever travel expenses from where they live to New York, they had to pay for their hotels. They had to pay a $230 registration fee, all to go out into the cold and run 26.2 miles. Which just leads me to ask the question, what's wrong with these people? Now, here's the thing. I don't really understand that, but plenty of people I know love to run races like that. And I actually know some of our members who ran yesterday in the Charlotte Marathon. Some did the full marathon. Some did the half marathon in Charlotte. And my friends who have done those kinds of runs, my friends who particularly have done marathons, say that there's just something about that race day experience that is indescribable. They talk about the adrenaline. They talk about the rush of being in a mass of other runners all traveling together. They talk about the crowds of spectators cheering you on and how many of them will have signs of encouragement and they'll have messages for you as you run. They're behind you and how all of that lifts you almost like a strong wind at your back and propels you toward the finish line. In fact, I've been told that I certainly don't know this firsthand, but I've been told that when you're training for a marathon, you never run the full length of the race because you don't need to. Because when you train alone. But when you actually get to the race, the power of the crowds make you capable of running faster and farther than you ever thought you could. And certainly faster and farther than you could if you were running by yourself. Now, one of my friends who's run a marathon even said, he was like, Michael, there was this one point at about mile 19 where the hill looked like it was ever increasing, and there's a huge incline in front of me. It didn't look like there was an end to that hill. And I'll be honest with you, I thought about quitting. I thought about giving up. But there were all these people lining the streets and they were yelling and they were cheering and they had signs. And also I had these other people who were also running with me. They were trudging up this hill and I thought, if they can do it, I can do it. And so that was the thing. The other runners and the crowds of people that have gathered, those were the reasons that I continued on. There was no way I was going to quit because of the people around me. Now I was thinking, I'm not sure there's a crowd big enough on the planet to make me want to run 26 miles. But I was like, yeah, I believe you. I believe the people who say that the support of the crowd really makes a difference in a runner's endurance. I've never experienced that in a foot race, but I have experienced that playing other sports. I've been playing in games where the crowd really did make a difference because all of those people were there and they were loud and they were with us. It makes you dig a little bit deeper and it makes you fight a little bit harder and it gives you that little bit of extra something to make it on to the end. And I'm confident that that's exactly what the author of Hebrews had in mind in our scripture lesson this morning. Our scripture lesson comes from Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, And now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple of people around you and deliver this message. The message is, don't be confounded. You are surrounded. Can you do that for me? Don't be confounded. You are surrounded. You'll notice that our passage started with the word therefore. Therefore, that's a signal, it's a clue that what is about to follow is directly connected to what has immediately preceded this passage in the book of Hebrews. And what immediately precedes it is in chapter 11 is this sort of roll call of the major characters of the Bible. It starts off in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, where the author says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. In other words, he's saying, you want to know what faith is? Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we can't see. That's what faith is. It is confidence. It is assurance of the things that we can't really see. And then the author of Hebrews goes down this list of people throughout the history of creation who have exercised their faith. These are the people who have run the race before us. And so in this laundry list of people, he mentions folks like Abel and Abraham. He mentions people like Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and Joseph. He mentions people like Moses and Noah and Rahab and Samson and David. Now, just in case some of these names don't quite ring a bell for you, let me recap for you some of who these people are. Moses, you probably heard of Moses, but what you might not remember is that Moses once murdered an Egyptian. Also in this list is Rahab. And Rahab had a profession that wasn't really all that honorable. And we know that from the pages of the Old Testament. She is in this list of heroes of the faith. The author also mentions Noah. Of course, you know Noah built an ark, but we also know from reading the Old Testament that after the flood, when he got off the ark, Noah disgraced God by becoming drunk out of his mind, and it was proof that sin survived the flood. God wanted to cleanse the earth, but because of Noah, sin survived. We read in this list, we read of Samson, and you know that Samson had quite a few vices. You know that he had a problem with Delilah, and he also had a problem with his own pride. Samson's in this list. David, we recently had a series about David, and we learned about all of his mistakes and failures, how his faithfulness was like a roller coaster. We even heard about his sin with Bathsheba and how he tried to cover it up by killing Bathsheba's husband. These people in this list are not sinless, perfect saints. They're not some folks who belong in a museum. They are normal, ordinary people. People just like anybody else you've ever known, people who are sinful and broken. And we don't remember these heroes of the faith because they were extraordinary people. We remember them because they were very ordinary people who had an ironclad faith in an extraordinary God. These were people who, once they started running the race of faith in God, never turned back. They never quit. They never gave up. They continued. Despite their ups and downs, despite the rough patches that they hit, they continued on. They persisted and persevered. They ran with endurance the race of faith. And they gave their lives to God in service to His kingdom. They weren't perfect, but they were persistent and they persevered. They dedicated their lives to God, warts and all, and that's why their legacy lives on. And then after the author of Hebrews goes down this list, naming off many of our spiritual ancestors, he says in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, Therefore, all of these people, because of them, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight and the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Let us run with endurance. Notice that the author doesn't say, let us run with speed. It doesn't necessarily matter how fast we run this race of faith, because sometimes when we run too fast, we give out of gas and we fall short. He says, run with endurance all the way to the end, this race of faith. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, let us run. This is a very fitting passage for us on a Sunday like All Saints, because on All Saints, we remember that the church doesn't just consist of us followers of Jesus who happen to be living at this present moment. I mean, we're not the first ones to try to follow Jesus. There are many people, thousands of people who have lived the faith before us, and they have passed it down from generation to generation. The church is made up also of those people, people who have finished their earthly lives and been welcomed into God's glory. They are, and sometimes we call them the church triumphant, those who have graduated into God's presence and into glory, the church triumphant. In the creeds, we call them the communion of saints. They are those who have gone before us, who have lived the faith, who have fought the good fight, who have finished their race and now are in God's presence. And they're gathered around, according to the author of Hebrews, and they are cheering us on. They've got signs and they're encouraging and they're cheering as we continue to run our race. Even when they were imperfect, these saints, these heroes of our faith, pressed forward. And it's very likely that none of us would be followers of Jesus today without some of those saints who taught us what it means to follow Jesus. Some of those saints who invested in our lives, who encouraged us and mentored us. And so just for a moment this morning, on this All Saints Sunday, I want to invite you to think about who those saints are for you. I want you to think about those people who invested, who encouraged, who've mentored and taught you what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I want you to think about those folks. Take a moment and give thanks for them. Because even though they weren't perfect, they were persistent. They persevered, and because of their faith, we also have been able to come behind and pick up the baton and run this race. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, those people that you've been thinking about, people who've made an impact in your life, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And in other words, the author of Hebrews is saying, look, when faith is hard, when life comes at you fast, and when you suffer for your faith, when you're on mile number 19 and it looks like there's nothing but a steep hill ahead of you, remember that you are surrounded. Don't be confounded, because there's this huge crowd of witnesses. There are these saints who have lived the faith before us, and they are cheering us on. You're surrounded by the heroes of faith like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You're surrounded by the pillars of faith like Sarah and Deborah and Ruth. You're surrounded by all the believers you have ever known and loved who are no longer with us, because they have crossed their finish line and now they've joined the gallery and they're cheering us on from the stands. You are surrounded by Dean Rogers and Ann King. You're surrounded by Bob Yont and Brian Estes. You are surrounded by Denny and Sue Gooden and Bob Brooks and Connor Hammond and Jack McCauley. You are surrounded by Dan Bruton and Don Wilson and Jack Eddy and Greg Patterson. You are surrounded by these people who have lived the faith, finished their race, and now cheer us on from that huge crowd of witnesses, the communion of saints in glory. You are surrounded. So don't give up. Never quit. Keep pushing. And also be reminded that there are people coming behind us, the next generation, who are looking for us to be saints in their lives. Not perfect people, but people who will live the faith and pass the baton and invest in their lives and mentor and shape and pray for and encourage and cheer on. They're looking for us to be those saints for them. They're looking for us to leave a legacy of faith behind and cheer them on as they finish their course. You know, last week we talked about how James tells us that our life is just a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. We all have a short period of time on this earth in which to make our impact and our mark. We have a short period of time to pass down the faith to the next generation. So let us run with endurance the faith that God has set before us. Now, if you're wondering, how do we do that? Verse 2 of our passage gives us some more information. The author of Hebrews says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Now, I've been told that, especially if you're new to running marathons, it's really important that you find a pacer. A pacer is a seasoned marathon runner who can set and keep a pace, a particular pace. And so if you've been training and you know you think it's feasible that you finish the marathon in like 4 hours and you decide that's going to be your goal, then when you get to the race, it's important to find the pacer that is the 4-hour pacer. And they're clearly marked and you go find them. And once you find your pacer, then you fix your eyes on them and you don't lose sight of them and you just keep up with them. You stay with them, and if you stay with them, not only should you finish the race, but you should finish with the time you wanted to have. And the reason that pacers are so important, especially for newer runners, is that the adrenaline of the crowd and the exhilaration of all the other runners who are running alongside you, they can cause you to run too fast in the beginning. And if you run too fast in the beginning and you lose sight of how long the race actually is and you overexert yourself, then you can really easily run out of gas before the end. And so the way to avoid that is to find your pacer. And the author of Hebrews is saying, hey, Jesus is your pacer. Jesus is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Sure, get energy from the crowd. Know that they're behind you. They're the wind at your back. But keep your eyes on Jesus because he is the champion and perfecter of the faith. Just think of all the hostility he endured on the cross. He did that so that you could have an example and you won't grow weary and give up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Know that you're surrounded like a thick cloud by a huge crowd of witnesses cheering you on. Therefore, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily trips us up. Keep our eyes on Jesus and keep trucking. That's a good reminder for this All Saints Sunday. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, on this All Saints Sunday, we give thanks for all those saints who have lived the faith in front of us. We're grateful for their witness to your tremendous love and the salvation that is available to all of us through your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray that when life gets tough, when the living of this life of faith feels like one long, steep hill on mile number 19, please empower us not to be confounded. Remind us that we are surrounded, and fill us with adrenaline to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And Lord, though we are grateful for the crowd of witnesses, the saints that cheer us on, remind us that Jesus is our pacer. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Him and Him alone. For it is in His name that we pray. Amen. Over the past few weeks, you've had the opportunity to pin bells on a banner in memory of the people who have been saints in your life, people you've loved and lost, people who have invested in your faith. And so now I'd like for you to stand as we have a procession of that cross. It is the tradition of the church on this All Saints Sunday to read the roll of those saints from our community who have graduated to the church triumphant in the last year. So let us remain standing. Dean Rogers. Ann King. These are the folks from our membership who have died since last All Saints Sunday, but without a doubt, there are many more on your hearts and minds. So at this time, we invite you to come forward and to light a candle in memory of those who have been saints in your life.